All right, so we're going to look today at forgetting backward and reaching forward. And as I mentioned earlier, we are going to do 21 days of prayer with Church of the Highlands. Start on January 9th, so if you're listening today and you'd like to participate in that, I'm going to post that and I'm going to pin it to the top of our Facebook page. But also we have these little prayer books. And if you haven't got one, I'll get you one if you're here today. But if you'd like to receive one of those prayer books, you have a couple weeks to come to church and get one. Amen? So we encourage you to come and, you know, grab your book, and it gives you some good information about prayer. Okay, so this is the last day of the year, and, you know, there's some things that I know some of us would probably like to get rid of, and I know there's probably some things that some of us would like to grab a hold of. Amen? And so I know that sometimes in life that we look up and maybe we're not in a place we thought we would ever be. I've been that way before. I'm sure everybody here has. You know, we started off, you know, in that direction that we wanted to go, but, you know, along the way, things kind of got in our way. We had some barricades. We have some barriers, some things that kind of, you know, come into our life that kind of hold us back. And for me, I like to, personally, I like to leverage different times of the year. Okay, so we're at a prime time right now. We're at the end of 2021, and next week will be the beginning of 2022. So I think it's good that this day and as the rest of this week or the rest of this year, we kind of look at things in our life that we kind of want to get rid of. Some things that maybe didn't turn out the way they could have, and then we want to start a focus on next year, because the most important thing that we can do is try to gain some momentum. Momentum is very important, that we maintain that momentum, because that's how you start to step from miracle to miracle, when you get some momentum going. So we're going to look at some ways to do that. Passage I want to look at today, we're going to look at a couple. It's found in Philippians chapter 3, and it's verse 12 to 14. As we forget what was behind and look forward to what's ahead. Amen. Paul here was speaking. He says, "Not that I've already obtained it or already become perfect, but I press on, so that I may lay hold of that which is also laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal, the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the stirring of the Spirit here today. We thank you for a supernatural moving on each of our hearts. Lord, we know that you have a plan. You have a plan for each of our lives. From the foundation of the world, you know whose names is going to be written in that book of life. Lord, you know the plan that you have for each and every person. And Lord, we want to fall in line and be a part of that plan. Lord, right now I pray for a special stirring, you know, in my heart. Lord, I thank stirring in the gifts that you put in me. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And Lord, for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we all go through life's up and downs, right? Ups and downs in our life. Have you ever done the old two steps forward, one step back? You know, I think we've all done that. Just kind of step out, and it just seems like no matter how hard we try, progress is just slow going. It doesn't seem like we're getting to the place where we want to be. Maybe we've caught a glimpse of glory, you know, in the sense of where we know that where God is leading us to, some of the things that God wants us to do. But yet getting there is just so hard. It just seems like there's so many mountains in our way. There's so many obstacles or barriers and doors just ain't open in a way that we really want them to open. And that's just the way it is sometimes. No matter how hard we push, no matter how hard we shove, we strive, but nothing's moving. And maybe that's where we're at right now today. Maybe you have something that God has spoken into your heart, and you really thought, you know, we would be there now, but we're not there yet. And I just want you to hold on. See, the journey with Christ, as we all know, is a marathon. It's not a sprint. You know, a lot of times we sprint. When you first get saved, you know, you get that feeling, that joy of your salvation. Man, you just hit the floor running. You're just going after God. And then maybe about a year or two later, maybe a week or two later, all of a sudden, you know, you just kind of lose out. You know, I was watching some things just in between our Christmas festivities yesterday and looked at these cross-country people, skiers trying to qualify for the Olympics, and, you know, watching them guys go up the hill and, you know, trying to fight. And one of them was, he wanted to win so bad. He was in second place. And if you watched him going up the hill right towards the end of the race, his legs were going twice as fast as the other guy, just trying to churn everything they had, and he passed him. And then he went ahead and he just smoked him. Both of them made it. You know, after the guy got passed, I suppose he just said, I'm going to make it anyway, so I'm just not going to go any farther. But anyway, it's that marathon. Your legs may be burning. Your lungs are burning. You just don't think, you know, you can go another step. But I'm just going to tell you, take one more step. Because sometimes in the Christian walk, you know, we get to go downhill. Amen? You know, my wife and I, we like to walk out at the reservoir sometimes, and she's a downhill person. I mean, my gosh, I think she's going to crash. My little legs, you know, when I go downhill, I'm kind of sure-footed. I'm like the old goat. Maybe I am an old goat. I don't know. But I just kind of go slow down there because I have crashed before in life. You know what I mean? Going down too fast. I used to go fast all the time. You know, but she just lets go and just her legs just get to going. And I just, so she just 15, 20 feet ahead of me. Then the hill comes. That's my strength. I'm an uphill person, you know, and I pass her on the hill going up. Because sometimes life is like that in our Christian walk too. Sometimes it feels like we're going downhill. Everything's falling in the line, you know. People's just loving on you, greeting you, just saying everything's okay. And then all of a sudden you hit that hill. And it just gets hard. It just gets real hard. And then those are the times that we really have to hang in there, because what happens sometimes is that we can start to get frustrated. You know, I don't know if you've ever gotten frustrated in your walk with the Lord. You know, I have. You know, I know what frustration is, where you know you could be doing something else. You know you could be doing this better. But all of a sudden, it just seems like things ain't happening. And then you start the feeling of frustration. And when you get to that phase, that's kind of dangerous, because when you're frustrated, you can make wrong decisions. The temptation will be to make a shortcut, you know? And there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts that are going to be successful in the end. And it's important, you know, that we remember that. Now, Paul, he is one of the people in the New Testament that I really admire. I probably, other than Jesus, you know, Paul is, to me, the way he preached the gospel, the way he kept going, he wouldn't quit, he just, and reached so many Gentiles, it just amazed me. And he was, here he said he was preaching this message to the Philippian church, and he said, you know, I haven't got there yet. And you just look back and say, what? I mean, Paul was a spiritual giant to these people. And here he's saying, he's just being transparent. He's just saying, you know, I haven't got there yet. But one thing I do, I remember, I forget all that bad stuff. I've got to press on to the good stuff, where God wants me to be. Because you can't focus on those other things. And, you know, Paul had some struggles. And we're going to look at a couple struggles here. First one I want to look at is Romans chapter 7, verse 14 and 15. Now, the book of Romans is a really a great book in the Bible. It has a lot of practical things. And here in Romans chapter 7, verse 14 and 15, this whole part of Romans 7 there, Paul is being very transparent about himself. And it's really, he really opens up some of his personality. He says, for we know that the law, I'm going to read from the New King James, this one. For we know that the law is spiritual. But then he says, I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, I do. Paul was battling something, the same thing that you and I have to battle from time to time, and that's our flesh. It's that old nature. Even though we're born again, maybe even filled with the Spirit, walking in the blessings of God, all of a sudden that old flesh nature, that old us, that old ugly thing will kind of stick its head up every now and then. And that just happens. You know, Paul battled it. That old sin nature wants to control our life. It doesn't want to give up. It wants to, you know, it never will throw in the towel till Jesus comes. It's always going to try to hold us back. But see, we have the victory over that. See, I think that we all personally probably have some unresolved issues that we haven't dealt with yet. And every now and then, they're going to stick their ugly head up. No matter how long you've been walking with God, as we continually to go deeper in the things of God, you know, we have areas of our soul, which is our mind, our will, our intellect, and our emotions. There's things down in there that we've suppressed and held down, but then all of a sudden they'll come out. Some trigger is going to hit us, and then we're going to maybe respond in a way that's going to be a stumbling block to somebody else. And we just need to be aware of that. I don't know about you, but I hate it when I fail, but I hate it worse that when I fail, I may cause somebody else to stumble. You know what I mean? But you're a pastor. You're this. You're a Christian. Well, yeah. But I also have a flesh nature that I deal with from time to time. You know, Paul said he dealt with it. So, you know, who are we sometimes to think we're going to get total victory over it? So that's why we've got to be ready when those things come up. Because what happens is some people, when they fail, they start to get down on themselves. And they start to push themselves farther down. And see, we have to learn the key, the code of how we deal with these things. See, when God brings those ugly things up or however they come up, you know, God will just wipe them off and get rid of them. That's what we got to do. We need to run to God, not run away from God. And as we end this year, we need to look at some things in our life that we don't want anymore. And we also got to look at the new year, some things that we want to grab a hold of. Another passage I want to see here about the Apostle Paul is found in Acts 15:39. And it's, I'm not going to read it goes on a little bit more about him and Barnabas, but it says, "And there occurred a sharp disagreement that they separated one from another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus." See, what happened is that, you know, I've done a lot of outreaches in life, been on the mission field and did things. And, you know, one thing you do, like before you're getting ready to go on an outreach, you all get together and you start praying. You really want to get in the flow of the Spirit and things like this. And the worst thing that can happen is to get in strife, okay? It just kind of quenches the Spirit. You know, just like a lot of people, you know, coming to church, you know, husband and wife, the stressing part of maybe getting all the kids together and you're there and all of a sudden you're biting at each other and you get in strife. And man, you just kind of put yourself in a tough position to receive, you know what I mean? Because when you get in here, the old devil's going to start lying to you. Well, look at you. Here just a minute ago, you were bad-mouthing your wife and now you're up here just praising God. You're a hypocrite. You're a poser, right? That's just how it works. But see, that's the devil. Everything he says is a lie. So here, and you got to think about this. Barnabas, you know, and Paul, they did mission work together. And see, John Mark, he went out with them and he was kind of younger. And evidently, he deserted them. It was too much for him. Being in ministry is not easy. You know, especially going out and being a missionary and doing the things that they were doing. I mean, my gosh, Paul was beaten with rods. He was stoned. I mean, the guy just drew a crowd. And not all the crowd loved him all the time. And I could imagine, you know, what it's like for, you know, that to happen. As a matter of fact, when Paul and Barnabas separated, Silas went with him. You know what happened the first day they went out and preached the gospel? They got thrown in jail and beaten with rods. I mean, that's just the way it was. Now, what happened there with John Mark is that Barnabas, his name means encouragement. And he was wanting to, you know, encourage John Mark. He knew there was probably some redeemable qualities in him. Hey, come on, let's give him another chance. And Paul said, no. So they split up. And now what's interesting also is Barnabas was the only one who accepted Paul in the beginning. You know, all the other apostles, they stayed away from him because, you know, as Saul, he was around persecuting the church and putting them in jail and all these things. But then Barnabas saw some qualities in him and pulled him in and loved on him and encouraged him and things like this. But yet Paul evidently forgot that. He forgot, you know, Barnabas should have had some street cred with him, you know what I mean? But he got in strife right before they went out into the ministry. And so these are things I'm sure that Paul, when he said, I want to forget, I want to forget that day, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to remember that day no more because that's not really who I am. And see, that's the power of the cross of Calvary, that you can put those things behind you. You know, put them on the other side of the cross, the other side of Calvary, Maybe there's some failures and things that's been going through your mind and some things you know that you didn't do the way that you wanted. You know, I see people from time to time, you know, want to rededicate their life, and that's great. You know, you just got to put those things behind you. I remember when I first got saved, you know, I made the mistake, maybe you've made this mistake, that when I got saved, I thought everybody at church was spiritual. Did you make that mistake? Maybe you didn't. I did. I mean, when I got saved, I knew what I was like. And I come out of that life, and I knew all the things I was still kind of getting rid of. But here I thought all these people at this church was so spiritual. Until I went to men's basketball league. You know what I'm saying? You know, we played basketball. They had a gymnasium. And one of the pastors, he was not spiritual when he played basketball. I mean, he'd be up on the stage maybe leading worship or something on Sunday. I'll tell you what, Monday night, Jack, you know, that guy, he's the kind of guy you wanted to foul. I mean, it was just a jerk. And it just opened my eyes up to see that, you know, you can't get your eye off what's really important. And newsflash, imperfect people go to church, right? Imperfect people go to church. We're not all perfect here. We have some issues. We have some stuff we're dealing with. Some things that we have to put behind us. Some failures and things like that. But one thing if we do, I understand if Paul struggled sometimes, I know that we will. Struggling is part of the walk sometimes. Everybody has to struggle. Everybody goes through some things. But one thing I've learned is a couple things. Is number one, you got to let go and let God. Just let God have all that bad stuff. Say, God, that's not who I want to be. That's not who you created me to be or recreated me to be when I was born again. But God, I put that behind me. And as you're doing that, don't put yourself down. Pick yourself up. You know, the devil's going to put you down. Why should you join with him? I mean, there's people in your life that just try to suck the life out of you. You just have to tune that out and just keep going forward. You know, put them setbacks behind you. Another thing we have to do is don't let hard times make you hard. Let hard times make you strong. Pressure is good because it makes us stronger. When we go through problems in life, that's okay because God's grace is sufficient for us. The problem is when we stop yielding to God's grace and then we try to figure it out on ourselves. That's when things start to unravel. That's when they fall apart. But God's grace is there for us. Now, also is that we gravitate towards things that we focus on. I mean, try this as you're driving down the highway someday. Start looking off to the side of the road and stay looking there, and before you know it, you'll be in the ditch, right? You'll be in the ditch because you focused on the ditch. You know, focus on the road, you know what I'm saying? Focus on what lies ahead of you. Don't look in the rearview mirror. That's dangerous to drive by looking in the rearview mirror. No, you want to look forward to the things that God has planned for you. See, as we forget what lies behind, one thing Paul says here, he doesn't go just ahead, does he? He said he is reaching. He's reaching. He's reaching for the things that are ahead. You know, a lot of people just try to head in the right direction. But when you're reaching for something, that means you got your eye on something specific in your life. Something specific that you want to do. And I'm going to practice saying specific this week, and next week I'm going to get it down. Amen? But anyway, you know, so just don't go in the general direction, but try to have something that you're really wanting to go for, some things in life that you want breakthrough for. Now in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36, I want to read another passage here. It says, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, if you have need of endurance, so that when you've done the will of God, you may receive what was promised." Okay? To me, confidence plus endurance equal promise. Okay? That's what we want. We're going for the promise. Now, God's made a lot of promises in the Bible, and those promises are for you and I. And one of the greatest ones is that we can have eternal life with Him forever and ever and ever. And that's a reward for us for being faithful, for hanging in there, not giving up. You know, some people turn their back on God. Sometimes when times get hard, they throw in the towel and they give up. You know, I remember talking to one of the kids the other day, and you know, they were just being a quitter. They would do something until it got hard, then they just quit. I says, "What are you doing? You don't want to be a quitter." They said, "Yes, I do." I said, "No, you don't. You don't want to be a quitter. You know, you can't be a quitter. You got to hang in there. You got to press on. You got to do whatever it takes to get the job done." Now, this word confidence is talking about here is talking about a state of boldness in intimidating circumstances. You know, that's a don't back down kind of deal. And what I like about this word, it implies that you're speaking out, okay? So what we say in the face of these problems in our life, a lot of people don't like, they think it's kind of crazy to speak to your problem, but we have to speak to our problem to see it turn around. See, we can't afford to speak words of death, especially when we're faced with a critical situation. You know, when you're going in to pray for somebody, when you're going out into the world and trying to minister to somebody, or maybe you have things going on in your life that is very a serious situation, you can't choose to give in to that and start speaking death to you, to your life there. You got to speak life to the death. You have to speak life to that situation. You have to say what God says about the situation. You have to be bold. You can't just wait. You can't lay back. It says to get right in there and have confidence. Yes. Now, the reason why I believe this part is kind of in this passage here, see, this is written to the Hebrews. And the Hebrews, you know, were the Jews. And what had happened is that some of them had left Judaism and had joined the church and had started following Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Well, when they did that, that cut them off from the Jewish, you know, synagogue. Maybe separated family members. But what happened then is when persecution started to come, then they started to get in fear that, well, maybe I made a mistake. You know, it was kind of hard for them too, because the Jews, you know, they were God's people. Well, then all of a sudden, Paul and different ones were out preaching to the Gentiles, and they're bringing the Gentiles in. I mean, people they thought were disgusting before are now a part of this new movement. And so when the persecution hit and things got to go hard, the government was coming down on them. I mean, they was putting some of them to death and they were sending them, feeding them to the lions, and all this persecution rose up. Well, then some of them started to fall away. They started to lose their confidence in God. They thought they'd made a mistake by the choice they'd made. You know, there's a lot of people are faced with that situation. You know, when they get into a bad way, and it's placed before them, either you rescind your choice to follow Christ or you're going to die. What would you do in that situation? What's this world got to offer you that's worth staying for? Versus what God has to offer you to live forever for. Amen? That's just how we have to look at it. I know it sounds kind of crazy. Death is not our problem. Death is a graduation. It's a promotion. It's a time when we step into glory and we receive the things that the Lord has promised to give us. But in order to get through that, we have to have endurance. Now, endurance is one of those things that's easy to talk about instead of walking it out. You know what I mean? Try going out for a jog right after church today. Hey, I'm going to run home. Now, Jason wouldn't have a problem with that. He could do it. But I mean, the rest of us, you know, just say, I'm going to run home. You know, I'm going to run home, you know, praise God. You know, and you get down there and then that little hill. We just got a little hill, don't we? Just going back up to town. It'd be good going down the hill there. But when you get that hill, then all of a sudden, oh man, I got to walk. I can't do it. Oh, wait. Come get me. I'm not going to make it. You know, I'm not going to make it. You know, you got to have endurance. You got to press on through the pain and not give up. God has a promise to give us. And what the word endurance there is saying, bearing up under pressure or having patience. You know, when we bear up under pressure. You know, I've said this before and I really believe this. I've been into a lot of pressure situations, you know, in the last 30 years since I've been a Christian. You know, especially here, you know, more so being a pastor, but before that, when I used to do mission trips, you know, I would get in some dicey situations, you know, mainly because of ignorance, and I just believed, you know, nothing bad would ever happen to me. You know, I still don't. I just live that way. I don't believe I'll die before my time. I just believe that with all my heart. So, you know, I don't go jumping out off buildings. I jumped out of an airplane, but I had a parachute, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, you know, I just don't believe that I can be taken out before my time. I believe that with all my heart. You know, and the idea of what it means to be in pressure. So as you go through life, you know, we don't like going through the hard times because sometimes people let the hard times make them hard. But what, and I'm not saying I haven't had that happen before, but I have learned this one thing. Hard times will make you strong. You know what I'm saying? As you go through the things in life and battle the things you've had to do, and if you've held on to God, you've held on to God's word, oh my, I wouldn't trade that for anything. Because I'm a better person because of it. Just as I know you are also. You know, the old saying that, you know, a lot of people, you know, you see a baby chick, you know what I'm saying? The little baby chick's just trying to come out of that egg, you know, and he's just fighting, you know, and you're the nice, kind person that you are. Oh, poor little chickie, I'll just help you. You start to break the egg, and you let the little chickie out. You just killed him. Because it's the fight of getting out of that egg that makes him strong enough to live. And I believe the worst thing that we can do sometimes is step in somebody's situation where they're needing to get stronger. And that's why you got to be led by the Spirit. You got to hear from the Holy Ghost. You need to have a relationship with God and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Because there's times, you know, I hold back a little bit until I feel a release from God to step in on that situation. Now, some people just have that nurturing spirit and they just hop in all the time. And that's fine. But I think they make some mistakes because we have to make sure that we're following God's leading, because a little bit of pressure on you ain't going to hurt you. It's going to make you better. It's going to make you stronger. And that's really what it's all about. So, you know, don't turn your back on those things. See, it's what we do and how we act under pressure that counts. Now, I've been kind of on this kick lately a little bit, talking about instantaneous things. You know, we all have done this, you know, ever since the age of the digital camera, right? Man, you can just take a picture. If it ain't good enough, get rid of it. Take another one. Or if you hold your button down long enough, you can take 10 pictures and boom, 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 boom. Surely one of them's got to be good. Somebody had their eyes open on one of them, right? Instantaneous gratification. Man, I'm having trouble. My mouth can't keep up with my mind today. Okay, so, but back when I was a kid, we had to take this picture, and then you had to send it off. And then they finally came out with 1-hour photo. I mean, that was kind of cool. But I mean, you might take a week or so to get that picture back. And then you find out your eyes were closed. You know what I mean? It's just, oh my, you know, wrecked everything. But see, it's not that, you know, we live in that world where we can have whatever we want when we want it. But we have to remember that, you know, Christianity doesn't always work that way. It's not that way all the time. Hey, I'm a man of faith. I know, you know. I mean, there's some people might tell you, all you got to do is faith. Just say this. It'll be there right now. But I just know this, that I feel I have some faith, but I say amen, and it's not there yet. I just got to hang in there. You know what I'm saying? I'm not mad at God. I'm just keep on fighting. Just keep on clawing and scratching, whatever it takes, you know, to get the job done. I mean, that's the kind of person or people that God is looking for. He's looking for people that'll get her done. People that's going to hang in there and not give up just when it gets hard. Not like a John Mark the first time who deserted him and ran away. You know, he's looking for people that's going to stand in there and fight that good fight of faith, because, you know, we need to look at Christianity not like a camera all the time where it's this digital and you get it right now, but it's like those times where a picture's taken, maybe you got a vision, maybe God has told you something, or you're hanging in there and you're really wanting something from God. And instead of having an instantaneous come, it has to go to the dark room. It has to be developed. Amen? There's some things in our life that have to be developed. And we let God do that. We hang in there and we watch that development process. All of a sudden, you know, if you've watched that, when they put that in that liquid, and that liquid might be a picture of the Holy Ghost, amen? They keep, you know, they put that picture in there. All of a sudden, you start to see what it is. Amen? I mean, it's worth it. You know, it's worth it to wait. It's worth it to wait on God and to get the things that He wants to bring into our life. And that leads us to the promise. And that's talking about eternal life with our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think about this from time to time. I don't know why, but, you know, it's worth it, people. It's worth it to wait. It's worth it to be faithful. It's worth it to endure. You know, I just think of my life now. I know too much, you know, about God. You know, I don't know, oh, it'd be so bad for me in hell based on what I know now if I turn my back on the Lord, because I know too much. I've seen too much. I've experienced too much, and I know you have too. God is real. He is real. And to follow that life is the best life because it has a great reward. Now, what we're willing to walk away from will determine what we will get to walk into. You know, we have to walk away from some things, people. We have to run from some things. Things in our life. If you have a weakness in your area, if you struggle with something, you know, I'm just going to throw maybe, you know, alcoholism, or maybe pornography, or maybe gluttony, or maybe gossip, whatever these things might be in our life, you just got to run away. Stay away from that stuff. Don't let it become a part of your life. So, you know, we can't play in both worlds and expect to walk in freedom and victory. It don't work that way. At least I found it. It doesn't work that way. We have to stay faithful to God. And so as we close out 2021, I want to remind us this next week is a good time to do some soul searching on what we want to forget about and start reaching forward to what lies ahead. So that's your assignment. And it's not mission impossible, it's mission possible. Because with God, all things are possible, right? Amen. Amen. So we can think about some things in life that maybe didn't go the way you wanted. Maybe some things that didn't fulfill the way it was. Maybe you've done some things or stumbled or said some things or whatever the case may be. I want you to just put those things behind you. Paul said, forget about it, right? That's, if he was from Jersey, that's how he would say it. Forget about it, you know? And, you know, and then he says to reach for, don't just wait. Don't be passive. Be aggressive. Aggressive for the things of God. Reach for those things. Know that they're for you. You know, you can look at an apple tree all you want, but until you reach out and take one, you ain't going to ever eat an apple. Unless you want to eat the ones that are rotten on the ground. I mean, how lazy are we? Come on. We want the ones on the tree. We want the ones that are still alive. So, we're going to sing a song here by Chris Tomlin and about the cross. So I want us to think here, maybe God's already spoke to you about some things, but to put all our past failures on the other side of Calvary.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
On the other side of Calvary. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and honor you today so much for the power of your Spirit, Lord, that we know that we're not alone. We know that you're real. God, we know where we come from. We come from you. You're our Creator. And when we get broken, you're the one that can fix us. And one of the best ways to get fixed is to come into relationship with you, and that comes by being born again. I want to give an opportunity here today. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, if you left this place today and you died in a car wreck, you're not sure you'd go to heaven. I don't want you to leave not knowing for sure. I want to give you opportunity to make your peace with God. So if that's touching your heart, the Holy Spirit's knocking on the door, just slip up your hand if you'd like to pray and ask Jesus in your heart. Or maybe you have and you've allowed some things to come in and you know you need to come back to where God wants you to be. Either of these, I want to give you that opportunity to pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We're going to close in prayer and then we'll sing our song.